Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to the Aging in Place podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Debbie Lyons. I am here today with Tracy Henderson, Hello. Who is a lighting expert. She works with Becky at Low Country Originals and at the Light Post. And you are known, I think, by architects and builders and designers alike as the guru of lighting.
Fantastic. Yeah,
well, I think you really are. And it's funny to listen to all of the professionals defer to you when they do have technical questions. And of course, we're talking about aging in place, but we're really talking about it at any stage in life. What I'd love to do, first of all, is talk a little bit about how you, when you get a plan, okay, whether it's a renovation, a new house, or just retrofitting anything, what are you looking for when a client brings it to you as far as creating an overall lighting scheme?
Well, one of the first things I look at is I look at the problem areas where you want the most light. Now, as we age, including myself, we need more light. So the lights that you put in your hallway, which we put, 8 feet apart, that is not a high enough concentration of light to put in your kitchen. So the first thing I do is I start in the kitchen and make sure that the recess lights, first we want to make sure that they're the right wattage. So now one of the newer trends are the LEDs.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that you don't use the 5,000 Kelvin, which is a color rating. That color is very white, has more of a blue tone. It's more like an office.
Got it.
What you want for a kitchen and for a home is something that looks more like sunlight.
Okay.
Which is a 3,000 rating. So it's a 3,000 K. So if you're going to Lowe's, Home Depot to pick up your bulbs, make sure that to get the bright bathroom, kitchen quality sunlight, you want the 3,000 K. Now another color.
Did it used to be more of a yellow lighting?
Yes. The other color that some people like in lamps, which is a different type of lighting. So lamp is more of an accent, is 2,700. 2,700 is more like a standard incandescent light bulb.
Got it.
So it has more of that yellow glow.
Got it.
Now people love that for lamps, but not necessarily in this beautiful bright kitchen because it does that. Your colors don't say true.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How did you even get into this, Trace?
Well, this is a great story.
Okay.
So I was going to school at night to be a computer programmer. And this was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And when I, so I needed a job that had basically banker's hours.
Okay.
So I needed a job that worked basically Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 so I could go to school at night.
Makes sense.
So I found a store. It was a lighting store and it was called Fifth Avenue Lighting in Rome, Georgia. And I started working in the warehouse, just pulling people's orders for new homes under construction. And then I worked my way up the chain.
Whoa.
And so the entire time I was in school, I was working at a lighting store. So when I got finished with school, I realized that I hated computer programming. And that was not for me. What I loved, which was what I've been doing for the past 5 years, which was lighting. And also dealing with clients, problem solving, designing, those type things. So, and I've actually, this would be my 29th. Year.
Is it honest to goodness your 29th
and
year?
And I'm only 32.
Yeah, so, so who are you? I think what's so fascinating to me about lighting is I think for many years, lighting was an accessory item that was thought of by a lot of people as an after the fact. now for me, and you know this through the houses that we do together, I think lighting is probably the number one thing that I pay attention to. Can you talk us through different kinds of lighting? What I mean by that is, there, a lamp is a certain kind. Mm-hmm. What are the different kinds of?
Well, the main thing that I focus on, which is our problem areas, which is task lighting.
Okay.
So task lighting is in an area where you can't add additional light. So for example, in a kitchen,
okay,
you can't add lamps
no.
to enhance your light. Or in a bathroom, you can't add lamps. So those are the areas that you really want the high quality light, a higher concentration light. And my thought process is go more light and then always dim it. Dimmers are very inexpensive.
Okay.
But you'll never be sad when you have too much light. When you have a dimmer, you can always adjust that, and it's very economical to do so.
When you're in a kitchen or a bath, are you looking at overhead lights,
yes.
side lights?
No, yes. Everything in kitchen is down.
Okay.
So the best way to light a kitchen properly is to layer the light.
Ooh.
So the first thing you know is you have your general lighting. Now, in some older homes, this could be a fluorescent light.
Okay.
Or it could be just, you know, a big drum light of some sort.
Right.
And the newer homes, most of the time, they're recessed lights.
Okay.
So then you have your down light. And basically, they're just kind of generally placed throughout the kitchen so there's no dark spots.
Mm-hmm.
The next,
can you do that for people?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. That's what I do when I get the set of plans. I lay
okay.
them out.
Okay.
The second thing is if there's a task area, so if there's a peninsula or island, then I make sure that there's another opportunity to add another layer of light. That's where a lot of times I'll choose a decorative element.
Got
but
it.
But with that, I still want to make sure there's great light.
So if I'm going to do decorative elements, what are you seeing now is trending over peninsulas or over islands?
Well, a lot of pendants, you know,
okay.
a lot of the smaller pendants are kind of passe.
Yes.
Most of the time now, so if you've got a big island, instead of doing like three or four mini pendants,
got
now
it.
They're two larger pendants.
All right. Are you seeing glass? What finishes?
I'm still doing a lot of glass. A lot of people are coordinating their light fixtures with their faucets because
oh, okay.
a lot of times your kitchen faucets are right in your island.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times too, depending on the color scheme, sometimes I use that as a chance to warm things up. So if you've got a white kitchen
okay.
and, you know, light color countertop and you've got, you know, chrome or polished nickel faucets, but you've got a dark hardwood floor and there's dark, you know, you've got dark in some other rooms, that's a nice opportunity to do a bronze or a black or even an antiqued pewter or something to add a little warmth
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't feel so sterile. And then another thing you want to make sure that in when we're designing kitchens, make sure there's under counter lights, which adds that second layer. Because as you're standing doing your chopping, a lot of times, just by default, you're kind of standing in your own shadow.
Yeah, I've noticed, yes.
So it's nice to have recessed lights under your cabinet. Excuse me, not recessed, under cabinet lights in your mounted underneath your cabinets to actually give light to the work surface.
Okay.
And what that allows you to do is not to stand in your shadow. It gives you a little bit more light. It's able to put a little bit more light when you try to read as we age, read
yes.
those instructions or read those directions. And another thing that I like to do is make sure there's actually a recessed light over your kitchen sink. Because sometimes people put them generally, they don't put one directly above your
gotcha.
Sink.
Gotcha. When I'm washing dishes, that makes so much
absolutely,
sense.
Absolutely. So that's one that architects a lot of times forget to add, but that's the first thing I always add is a light over the sink.
When you talk about doing a recessed light, are you seeing larger cans, smaller cans?
Still the smaller cans.
Okay.
Well, and what's nice now, back 10 years ago, in order to get a better bulb,
okay.
a more powerful bulb, you had to go to a bigger can. Now, because the bulbs are higher intensity, because they're LED, you actually can go with a more or less unobtrusive
size.
So you can
okay.
go with a 4-inch or the 5-inch and actually get the same lighting output as you would 10 years ago with a larger 6-inch that looked more commercial.
If we're looking at old, older things like light fixtures, can you exchange an old incandescent bulb that has more yellow for
absolutely.
Okay.
So one of the great things that is done, there's a standard socket, it's called an Edison socket.
Okay.
Which is named after Thomas Edison, mm-hmm. and it's because that was the original size socket designed. That socket is universal.
Okay.
So, thankfully, now that a lot of the higher intensity bulbs, the LED bulbs, the halogen bulbs, all are available in that standard Edison base standard size.
You can
so, and this is another helpful hint, when you're remodeling or building a house, a lot of times they have LED bulbs that are integrated inside the can.
Okay.
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. A lot of areas that have a lot of growth, like the Hilton Head area and the Bluffton area, we have power surges. Now, even though that LED diode is designed approximately for 50,000 hours, they're not above power surges. So now you have a can, the bulb is, you know, 3 of the 10 that you have in your kitchen are blown. And guess what? You have to replace the whole unit, which is $100+. So what I say, as frugal that I am, what I say is get a standard can that's a universal can.
Okay.
So a lot of, every manufacturer makes one as far as the recess industry. Use a standard base bulb, and then use the LED freestanding bulb and put it in the incandescent recess can. That way, if there is a power surge or something happens where you pop a breaker or something like that, then at least you have the opportunity to take out a $10 bulb versus have an electrician have to come take something out of the ceiling when they're integrated.
Oh my gosh. We're going to take a quick break. Can you believe it? We're going to come back.
We
got a lot more to talk about. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com.
We are back. Tracy Henderson is here, and we're talking everything to know about lighting. She's got great tips for us too, which is kind of fun. Let's talk, if we will, and I call it wayfinding. Mm-hmm. And that is any kind of lighting that helps make sure that we can get in our house safely, that we can go to the bathroom safely, that I can make it down the steps safely. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I actually learned from you. There are so many things I didn't realize that can be helpful when you actually plan for it.
Right.
All right.
Well, one of the things, as we talked about earlier, when I'm designing the lighting mm-hmm. for a home, one of the things I look at is, for example, stairway lights.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times builders will just install recessed lights or maybe even sconces or decorative light. But at night, if someone, you have a guest, they're coming down early in the morning before everyone, they don't really want to turn on all those lights.
Right.
So something that we've been doing recently is actually adding in step lights. So they're built in either to the rise of the stairs or sometimes on the wall that add 1 watt of light. Believe it or not, 1 watt of light doesn't seem like a lot, but that actually can get, you can navigate where you're going without waking up the whole house. Mm-hmm. And then we put them on like every third stair. So you don't need a lot. So it's not going to feel like a movie theater.
Okay.
But you just a little touch. Another thing that I like to do.
Do you find that's good for safety too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of them have almost more of a dusk to dawn approach or a timer. So that way they come on all the time. They don't use a lot of electricity. A lot of them now are LED. So you don't really have to worry about the energy in the energy draw from those. But I would leave them on all the time.
Yeah. Now you said another thing you love to do.
I love to do is actually put almost more, now that electricians can install receptacles in the bottom half. So receptacles in hallways aren't used a lot.
Right.
They're used in bedrooms and in kitchens and bathrooms, but not in hallways. They're there by code requirements and also to plug in a sweeper or vacuum or something. But in hallways, a lot of times what I like to do is suggest the electrician actually install a recessed receptacle that on the bottom half is actually a built-in integrated nightlight. So you don't have one that you have to plug in that looks, you know, does not as aesthetically pleasing. This actually is integrated into your receptacle. You meet your code requirements, and also it's a flashlight. Again, it's dusk to dawn. When I say dusk to dawn, I take that back. It's actually more of a photocell.
Okay.
So when it's darker, it comes on automatically. Again, it's 1 watt. It doesn't use a lot of electricity. But where I've just started putting those is actually leading a path to the restroom.
Oh, I love
that. So for someone that gets up in the middle of the night, which to go to the restroom, it actually kind of, so you don't have to wake up your significant other, but it actually kind of gives you a path to go. And then I put one right near the toilet.
So smart.
Again, it's not, no one's going to hit themselves. It's totally flush to the wall, but it actually just lights a path, and they're very, very reasonable. I want to say they're in the $30 price
point. Are they really?
Yeah. But you know, if you get a nice LED nightlight,
sure,
those are $20 at Home Depot. So why not have something that's actually integrated in when you have the forethought to plan it, which a lot of times I do.
What are other areas that you don't even think about that are I don't want to say dangerous, that where, to me, getting up from the bed and going to the bathroom is an area that safety first. Mm-hmm. Are there other areas of the home that you may not think about?
Always? Well, definitely bathrooms. Another way is when people do home automation systems. There's actually a lot of them will give you, it's called like a welcome home button.
Okay.
And these systems now, they used to be extremely expensive, but now they're much more affordable. Mm-hmm. And you can do as big or as small of a system that you want to do. But they have, you know, now they're all smart. So they're on smart devices.
Okay.
So on your phone, you can put have an app that controls your lighting, but they call it like a welcome home package. And so as you pull in, you know, there's so many lighting restrictions in Hilton Head and Bluffton.
Oh, yes. So we've got the ocean here.
Well, right. So there's so many lighting restrictions. So we don't all have the street lights and everything else to light our paths. So what this actually allows you to do is to press a button, and then what you program, so you program your garage lights to come on. You actually program the path. So you'll be garage lights, your side garage door, the hallway to the kitchen lights. So if your hands are full, you can press a button as you're pulling in, then you're not pulling into a dark house.
Can you help us do, I mean, is
that? I don't do that. That's more of a audio visual.
Okay. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I also, but a lot of times with homes, when I see that there's a problem, you know, as far as the house is a little larger than normal, I will suggest, you know, you may want to talk to an audio visual person just to think about putting this on a system. And also too, when you do those systems, you know, we have such limited wall space. You know, now the houses are so, everything is so open. So with a limited wall space, you only have a certain area that you can put switches. So this actually will help clean up your switches. They put nice labels on them. So it's just kind of the next level. Plus, we all like smart things.
We all like our smart devices.
But this, you can actually program with these systems. You can program an entertainment level, a welcome home level, At a town level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many different things you can do now.
Practically speaking, is there a height from the floor up that most receptacles should be in?
Yes.
Every
county has a standard. So, that's regulated by the local government. So when someone says a standard recessed height, there's no wavering from that.
Okay.
A lot of times, though, in flood levels, like if you go into garages, which is considered to be an outside space,
they
have to be higher, and it's just for water retention.
People who universal design or something? Is there a code that encompasses anybody at any age, people in wheelchairs or any?
Well, there's the American Disability Act, ADA.
Yes.
And what that does is you have to have, for example, bathroom lights, anything on the wall, has to be 7 feet from the floor.
Okay.
And some people think that's really tall or whatever, but it actually really just gives someone a buffer.
Okay.
So they're not hitting something on the wall, creating hazard for themselves or for others. And also, too, with that, the sconces have to be 4 inches off the wall.
What does that mean?
So the extension.
Okay. Oh, protecting off.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can't have this big elaborate sconce. When you do an ADA, you have to have it really, really flush to the wall. So there is less likely for someone to hit it or to bump it.
Are those things you take into consideration when you're talking to people about what their needs are? Again, are they in a multi-generation family? Do they have little kids? Do they have...
Well, and a lot of, and as you know, I ask a lot of questions.
Yes, you do.
So I like to get to know their needs.
Okay.
I like to get to know who's going to be in the home. And I ask it in a very indirect way, but it's part of the piece of the puzzle. So I like to know if they have grandchildren, if they have an aging mother or father or parent that lives with them. And so that once I know that and where are they staying? Where are they living? So are they going to be in the guest house? Are they going to be upstairs? Are they going to be in an in-law suite? Then I take that extra consideration. It's like, let's make sure that we add those step lights. Let's make sure we add those, the low voltage.
Exactly.
The built-in night lights. Let's make sure we add those. Let's make sure that we add really good light in their bathrooms.
I tell you what, it's really interesting to talk about this. And again, I think once you talk about it, you realize it's something that you take for granted, but how important it is. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. A lot more to talk about with Tracy Henderson. We're talking about lighting. Stay with us.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place. We're talking to Tracy Henderson about lighting. I always go to the light post whenever I have a big project to do, because sitting down with you always, I feel very reassured that we're going to get the best. It's pretty cool. What's trending these days?
Well, one of my favorite things that I'm doing right now is actually solid copper.
Ooh.
Outside. Now, here's what's fun. For a long time, only gas lights were available in copper.
Okay.
So now a lot of these companies actually offer an electric version. And copper has come down in price. They used to be thousands of dollars. Okay. Now they're actually just a little bit more than a base, you know, mid-priced light fixture. But you get the longevity and the marine quality of copper.
Why is marine quality even important?
Well, in this area.
Yeah, we're here on the ocean.
Yeah, we're in the
South Carolina.
And even at my personal home. So, I mean, I don't live on the ocean, but we're still in such an arid, humid environment that things age faster and they patina faster and they weather faster than you say you do in the Midwest, you know, where you don't have that high humidity. Or just in areas in general, you don't have high humidity. A company that I'm really loving right now is called St. James Lighting.
Okay.
And they're an American-made company, which any chance I can sell American-made over imported, I do. But what they offer is they offer a gas version. They also offer a propane, so natural gas, propane, and electric. Now, with that, they also offer all these beautiful copper patina finishes.
Yeah, I love that.
They're beautiful.
And they weather so gorgeous.
Yeah, and this area is longevity.
Yeah.
You'll never have a problem with them. But the second thing they're offering, which I love, and from if you've been interior designer, is that they're offering these beautiful powder coated design finishes.
Wow.
So the black, dark bronze, light bronze, more of a pewter tones, all these things you never had opportunity with having the quality of copper. But now you can get the design finishes. So if the if an antique copper is not in what would look best with your house, and you really wanted black, now there's that opportunity.
How do I know where to put my money when it comes to lighting?
Well, I put it, first of all, I put it in the main focal area. So first of all, longevity outside.
Okay, so spend my money.
Spend your money outside, because that's what's going to weather the fastest. And it's also curb appeal. So you definitely want to make sure that you're not going to have lights that are going to be need to replace in a couple of years outside. And it just, as we get older, you don't want to have to maintain things.
But that's true.
You don't want to have to maintain
simple
things.
Simple function.
And if you go and get on, you know, these wonderful home websites, which I shop myself, the light fixtures, they look great.
For that photo.
For that photo. But keep in mind, you don't see the quality.
Okay.
And there's a reason that sconce only cost $89.
Okay.
Because it's a painted steel.
Right.
So you put a painted steel in an arid environment.
Yeah.
And it's going to pit, it's going to tarnish, it's going to rust, and then it's going to leave a mark on your house outside, and you're going to have to touch that up in a couple of years. It's going to drip rust, and the rust is going to run down the siding. So, you know, there's a reason.
There's a rhyme and reason to what you do.
Yes.
What about fans? I know, again, we live on the ocean, and for really wet climates on the coast, either east or west, how's that work?
Well, one thing, I do not recommend a fan outside unless it's wet location,
okay,
not damp.
Okay.
So there's a difference. So damp location means that it's UL listed, which means it's rated to go in a covered porch.
Okay.
Now, when you live in a humidity environment like we do, we have humidity 360 days a year.
Yeah, we do.
So with that, the damp rated fans do not last. So what I suggest are wet location fans, which means that they actually can get rain. You can actually turn off the breaker, and if they're wet location, you can actually rinse the pollen off with a water hose.
Oh,
that's huge as far as maintaining. You know, there's all these beautiful fans out there, and you know, they're inexpensive, but look at the rating.
Okay.
The wet location, they're going to cost a little bit more, but you'll have so much more longevity. And another thing, speaking of the ocean, is that I've recently stopped, and I know this sounds crazy, putting outside fans on the ocean. And one of the reasons is because there's always a breeze.
Okay.
Ocean environments are so harsh for anything outside. Anybody that lives on the water, they know. There are things that rust that shouldn't, things that wear out quicker that shouldn't. And thankfully, you know, there's usually always a breeze on the ocean. But what I've found, especially with rental markets and things like that, when people have these fans, and it doesn't even have to be a tropical storm. It could just be some heavier gust of wind. They actually, you know, and fans are designed, they're aerodynamic. They're designed to move, but they get going. You don't even have them turned off. You can be out of town. And next thing you know, the fan is hanging from the ceiling. Your ceiling needs to be repainted. And it just becomes, again, another thing as we age that we don't want to have to maintain. So what I tell, you know, I just, you know, we are this coastal area. There's, you know, we have wildlife restrictions for turtles and things like that. I do just take it that to consideration too. You want to make sure that you turn off your lights after a certain time. There's all kind of websites that tell you about the turtle lights and how to be turtle friendly here in this area. But you also want to be friendly to yourself. You also don't want to have to purposely start to maintain something that you don't really get to use that often, which, like I said, oceanfront or those fans.
One of the things I want to make sure we mention before you go is Low Country Originals, which is right here in South Carolina in the Bluffton area. Mm-hmm. And I know that 3 or 4 years ago when I was at the High Point Market, I was like, Becky. And so we actually have a pretty, I have to say, internationally well-known designer here now in you and Becky.
So Becky Brackett is the owner of The Light Post, where mm-hmm. I work, and also the owner of Low Country Originals. So Low Country Originals started during the past recession, mm-hmm. and it was just a way to, like, okay, what do we do next?
Right.
We're the only locally owned and operated lighting company. We've got to figure out a way to survive. Well, what happened was a lot of local artisans, metal crafters, were out of business, had less business because of the recession. So over the years, we would get them to, like, quick weld something because it was just easier to pay him $100 and to try to get another one shipped from a manufacturer. So they came to Becky and said, hey, do you have any ideas? I mean, I have time. Yeah. I have time on my hands.
I'd like to create a light fixture.
So it started with 13 lights, and now we have over 300. They're actually made in Hardeeville, just right up the road.
Hardeville, South Carolina.
you know, everything is. And again, Becky feels the same way I do. It's American made. It's made with local suppliers. And it's made for you. Mm-hmm. So we can actually change the color. We can change the size. You know, it's large. You may want a smaller version for, you know, a back powder room or a hallway. You know, we can make those changes because it doesn't come in a box from overseas that's this big.
Right.
And so with making it locally, you're also providing local jobs.
And I'll tell you what's interesting. You provide local jobs. It's locally made, but it ships and goes everywhere. It's kind of become the new classic, don't you think?
Well, you know, I'm a little partial to it myself, but it's a work of art, mm-hmm. and people like it because it's made for them, and it's made special. When they order it, if their name is on it, it's made for them.
Answer this for me. What is the website where people can actually go on? Their website's phenomenal. You can actually see the products.
And we're redesigning it right now, so it's going to be even better, but it's lowcountryoriginals.com. Mm-hmm. And also, you can go to it, our local for the lightpost.com also has a link as well.
It's so fun to talk to you. Thanks. I really appreciate it. What do you think? Was this fun?
It was fun.
All right. I appreciate
this. This is what I know, so I can talk a lot about it.
This is good. Again, Tracy Henderson from the Light Post, and this is the Aging in Place podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week.
Thanks.
I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response,
Who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Age-proofing your home. A hospital bill due to a fall in your home can cost on the average of $40,000 to $60,000. Yes, you may have insurances to pick up some of the costs, but falls can lead to worsening health issues, and long-term costs can increase, such as having to do physical therapy or rearranging your living situation. Having an in-home assessment where an aging-in-place specialist, or better known as CAPS, C-A-P-S, will come to your home and walk through with you to see where you need improvements to make your home functional and safe. Recommendations for lighting, grab bars, and even simple changes like your doorknobs can make a huge difference in the way you live in your home. Changes will make your home happier for all ages. You can do an internet search for aging-in-place specialist near you.
It was really interesting talking about lighting today with Tracy Henderson. And I think the biggest takeaway that I got is wayfinding is one of the most important things in the world when it comes to lighting. What is wayfinding? It's simply being able to find your way guided by light, whether it's night or day. One of the things I learned is it's now possible to have a receptacle that also acts as a nightlight. Sounds like something simple, but a must-have. Thank you all for joining us here this week. We really enjoyed talking to Tracy about lighting. Have a wonderful one. Bye-bye.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.